Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to test. I want to test it. 1, 2, 3. Can all of you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you that our families are complete in you. Thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Bible. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to learn of you more. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to see your face. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity for your Holy Spirit to just reveal you to us in a bigger, better, deeper, higher way. Holy Spirit, Bible study over to you. Lead and guide as you give us what to say and how to say it. As you lead our fingers and our footprints and our steps, Lord, continue to anoint us as we grow spiritually, as we learn you better, as we learn to know you better.
Yes, Lord.
Those who are on the call now, every family that's represented. We thank you, Lord, for meeting every need in abundance.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to bind the enemy. Say the Lord God, rebuke you in the satanic cohorts. We curse you from the root, command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And we praise your name. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. We honor your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Everyone says,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we continue in our study, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I want to make some announcements about the fifth semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning. The fifth semester will start the first Tuesday in January. And again, it's 9 weeks. It's going to be comprised a little differently. The first 3 weeks of the next semester, we're going to be studying spiritual maturity. That's the class. When those 3 weeks are over, that's the end for that semester. The next 3 weeks, we're going to be studying how to fast and pray effectively. And that's for 3 weeks. When that's over, those 3 weeks over, that's the end of that. And then the last 3 weeks is going to be how to heal the sick. We are not going back and forth. We're dealing with the class, spiritual maturity, 3 weeks, and it's over for that semester. Then we're going to deal with how to pray and fast effectively, and that's for 3 weeks, and then that's going to be over. And then how to heal the sick. That's 3 weeks, and that's going to be over. Those are three classes. That's in the first slot, first 40 minutes. The second 40-minute classes, the first 3 weeks is history of the Bible. The second 3 weeks is know your Bible. And the third 3 weeks is church membership, effective church membership. Hallelujah. So if you were counting with me, there's six classes. But
yes,
we're spending on each class. Hallelujah. The cost of next semester, if you want to pay for it all at one time, is $60. If you say I need installment, 25 per session. In other words, $25 the first 3 weeks, $25 the second 3 weeks, $25 the third 3 weeks. If you add the installments up, that's $75. So you save $60 if you pay for it all up front. That's why I'm sharing this with you in advance so you can save. There will be no scholarships, but there is a way that you can cut your cost in half. If you bring a new student with you, the two of you is only going to be $60. In other words, $30 a piece for the whole semester. $30. If you do bring a new student, then the cost has to be upfront. There's no installment on bringing two of you. In other words, two people, $60. You can cut it in half. $60, so $30 for one, $30 for the other. That's how you can do it. And it has to be a new student or a returning student, not a student that was with us in the fourth semester. Okay. Do I need to go through that again?
No, sir.
Any questions about that? Anybody? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're gonna get more bang for your the money for the buck. Yes. And you're gonna get a new book about prayer and fasting. I don't know if you can see what God is doing with us. He's taking us step by step and inch by inch. You know the order in which the classes, because how to heal the sick is cool, but some can only come out by prayer and fasting. And so that class, prayer and fasting, comes before, effective prayer and fasting comes before how to heal the sick. We're going to continue from where we left off, y'all. New people,
yes, sir.
You have to do tomato, tomato. You know what that is, don't you? Ketchup. We're not going back to page one, know your Bible, or how they got to do some. Oh, y'all like that, huh? Anyway.
Yes, I like that. Don't quit your day job.
Amen. But it's important. And, of course, the second class, where it is history of the Bible. Okay, history of the Bible. Got to know all of that stuff. And then where we left off. And then know your Bible. You got the history. Now let's know it, okay? And then effective church membership. Two. You know, you see what God is doing. God is trying to get us from being an also ran to a disciple. Come on.
Yes.
Discipline.
Yes. Amen.
And when we finish with this, there's some pastors are going to come to you and ask, can you teach us, me and my ministers? Some pastors are going to come to one of our members.
Lord.
And ask the member to teach their elders and deacons and other folk in leadership because you have been taught.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go ahead to God. Let me. Okay. So all minds are clear on that. And give me a good morning. So hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And, of course, the types of prayer. Well, the prayers we will be discussing today is united prayer. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Intercessory prayer. All right. God bless you now.
Amen.
called United Prayer. If you've been with us over the last week or two, we've been covering the different types of prayer that are described in the Bible. The reason why we're doing this is when I was before the Lord in prayer, he had showed me that what he wanted me to teach next was on the different types of prayer. One of the things we've been repeatedly saying throughout this series is that sometimes when people do not have their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying about the right thing or they're not praying in the right way. Now, that's not always necessarily the case. Obviously, whenever you pray for something, there are rules around prayer, and that's what these rules are based on that we're covering. But anytime someone prays, they must also believe in faith, and they must remain in faith by staying thankful to God that whatever they prayed about will come to fruition. Sometimes when people don't receive a prayer answered, sometimes it's because the Bible tells us it simply doesn't line up in accordance with God's will. You know, other times when they pray and they're not getting their things answered, it's because maybe they're praying, but they're not operating or staying in faith to bring that thing to pass. Well, today we're going to continue our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer that we're covering is called United Prayer. Now, when people talk about United Prayer, sometimes within the body of Christ or within the church, this is also referred to as corporate prayer. This is the type of prayer that it is. United prayer or corporate prayer is when a group of people come together about a common goal that they're believing for, and they stand in prayer and agreement that it's going to come to pass, whatever that is. Sometimes when people have prayer circles, you know, sometimes within churches, you'll have a group of women or a group of men, will turn around and create a prayer circle. And any time that they find out about someone within the church who has a need, maybe it's healing or finances or relationship, you know, their children, something else, they'll turn around and they'll start that prayer chain is what it's sometimes referred to. And within that prayer chain or within that prayer circle, they'll come together praying about the commonality. Now, where the prayer circle or prayer chain breaks is when people start talking about the issue instead of talking about the answer. When people focus around what's going on or the issue, they break down the faith of the prayer that will bring the answer. Prayer circles or prayer groups are not meant for gossip sessions. Those are meant for sessions where those people come together. It's actually a type of form of intercessory prayer, which we'll be covering tomorrow. But it's a type of intercessory prayer where they're actually coming and interceding on behalf of those people. But as a corporate prayer or group in a united prayer, they're coming together and praying for those people. Other types of united prayer or corporate prayer are when you turn around and you have a church believing for something. Now, an example of that would be if you have a church, and maybe they've outgrown their current facilities, and they're believing God for the new piece of land or for the new building that they can build it so they can reach more people. That's a very common thing within the side of the church or the body of Christ. And so sometimes they'll ask their church members to become involved with praying and believing for that answer to prayer. That would also be a group prayer or united prayer, or sometimes, like I said, referred to as corporate prayer. Other times we see this is within the actual body of Christ. When I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. One of the things that you hear people praying about very strong right now across the nation of the United States is people are praying for revival. It seems like most people I talk to, regardless of the denomination that they're part of, as long as their denomination is focused around God and Jesus Christ as our Savior, they will turn around and they're praying for revival in the nation because the nation is in such turmoil from a moral standpoint. Now, we have some other things going on politically and different things that like that as well, but as a nation, our moral compass has become corrupted or is not working, so to speak, or we're ignoring the moral compass of our nation. So many parts of the body of Christ, or I should say the body of Christ in general, they're believing for a revival to sweep across this nation. As they're praying for that common goal, that would also be considered a united prayer. The other type of united prayer you have is when as a nation we come together in prayer. An example of that, if we went back to 9/11, when we had the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers and the other parts of our country. As a nation, we bonded together during that period, and people were flying American flags. I remember driving down the highway, and just about every pickup going down the highway had an American flag sticking on its tailgate or, you know, on the bed of its truck going down the highway. It was a pretty awesome sight to see, actually. Everywhere you went, people were saying, God bless you. And people were coming together as a nation, and they were praying for those families, and they were praying for the safety of our nation and the guidance of our president, who was President Bush at the time. When we do that as a nation, that is also a type of united prayer. It shows us in the Bible repeatedly where the nation of Israel also came together in united prayer. I want to go ahead and read you a couple of scriptures right now, and this is one of the places where it talks about united prayer within the Bible. Now, in this particular scripture, this is in the book of Acts, and this is when they received the gifts of the speaking and the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them. But we're going to talk about this because there's a couple key verses that I'm going to read to you. Let's go ahead and turn to it. This is going to be in Acts chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 24. Let's read. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. So as we start in verse 24, there was a report that came out. Peter had just gotten out of jail and stuff, and when he did, they had a certain report that had come to them. And as they did, all the believers together lifted their voice together in unison in prayer. Let's skip down to verse 31, Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So in Acts 4:31, it shows us that before that in verse 24, that they went ahead and they heard a report, and together they came into together in agreement in unison and prayed in unison together. Now, from 24 to verse 31 is actually the prayer that they were praying. I skipped over that, but it was the prayer they were praying. When they did that, in verse 31, it tells us that that prayer was so powerful. That, and it wasn't so much the prayer, it was the unison, the unitedness of that prayer was so powerful that the place literally shook. Just think about that for a second, that if you're in church this Sunday, you know, we're coming up on Easter Sunday, and let's just say that on Resurrection Sunday that you're sitting in church, and together you guys enter into fervent prayer, whether it be for our nation or for your church, but something, and you guys enter into fervent prayer. And as you enter into fervent prayer, that that prayer doesn't have to be long or elaborate, but that there's a unison and there's an agreement in it, there's a oneness in it. And as you guys pray, when you're done, the prayer is so strong that the entire place starts shaking. Man, that's got to be an awesome experience, but that goes to show the power of united prayer. You know, it tells us in the word that one believer walks in the flight of 1,000, but two Christians walk in the flight of 10,000. What happens when we get an entire group of people united in corporate prayer or united prayer? It's a pretty powerful thing. Let's go ahead and skip down to the third verse, and this is going to be out of Acts 32, my apologies. And so it says, so after Acts 31, it talks about that they got together in a meeting place, they prayed together, and the place shook. Now let's go to Acts 4:32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. I'm going to read that again. All the believers were united in heart and mind. So it tells us that the way this prayer worked is that they came together off of a report. In other words, there was something that they heard. They turned around and as believers agreed on what it was they needed to pray about, and they united and lifted in prayer at the same exact time. And as they did that, the prayer was so strong that when they were done, the place shook. And it shook because they had all come into agreement in prayer. The Lord heard them, and the place shook because prayer can shake things up. Praise God. And it tells us in verse 32 that they were united both in heart and mind. When you're united in both heart and mind, that means both your logic and your thinking, your thoughts, and your heart, your faith are lined up together. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings available to stream 24 hours a day at no charge. In addition, we also invite you to connect with us on our social media. We have our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe to. We also have our Facebook page and Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are encouraging you, then as always, we want to encourage you to share this word with others. Whether you're posting it on your timeline of your social media, sometimes you'll be surprised that you might reach someone that you never would have thought you reached, because as they come across the video, there's a headline or something in it that captures their attention based on the need of where they're at that day. Guys, we want to remind you as always that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day. And I'm
Hallelujah. My, my, my.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Power off. Wow. Before comments, et cetera, can somebody go to Acts chapter 4, start with verse 24 and read through 31. Let's see what that prayer was. Wow. Start at 24. Can't hear you. You're not coming through. Still can't hear you. I don't know.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Okay. Check your phone, please. It's on me. Still can't hear you. You're not coming.
Not on me.
Okay. Now I can hear you.
Oh, I'm talking right. Okay.
All right.
It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said,
right there, when they heard that Peter came out of the jail. Is that it? That's what they heard. We may need to go to 23. What does 23 say?
And being let go, they went
a few.
You want me to stop?
No, I said 22.
I'm sorry. For the man was above 40 years old.
No. Okay, I'm trying to figure out when they heard that. I'm trying to find out what the that was.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It says, and being let go,
okay,
they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them.
Okay. So they talked, let go. Oh, that was Peter was let go. Was that it? Okay.
Okay. Verse 19 says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, unto God judge ye.
Okay. Then I think Peter and John were in prison, and they got out of prison. Go to, I think maybe 15. See what 15 says.
Okay, 15 says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men?
Oh, okay.
For they indeed, a notable miracle had been done by them and manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem.
Stop.
We cannot deny it. Oh.
Okay, now you can go to, what was that? The 24. Go.
20.
Okay. So they were talking about a miracle that happened. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Okay, in 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is.
Did you stop at 31?
Oh, that was just 24.
Okay, keep going.
24. Okay.
Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Okay, so, Pastor Peter, you and Charles, they still have 5 minutes. Comments, questions, or whatever.
By hearing the tape, it helps me understand even greater that what the Bible says, where two or more joined together in my name, there I am also. It's something powerful when people come together in unity of mind, heart, and spirit. It moves the hand of God versus you being alone. Alone is okay. But when you get your brothers and sisters together on one accord, one mind, one spirit, it shakes heaven.
You that is so righteous, what you just said. I know you remember me saying this over and over again about being on the same page. That's your heart,
yes,
and mind, and we being on the same page. The place ought to be filled with smoke, you know. I mean, it ought to rock, you know. And that's what's important, we being on the same page.
Yeah, your anointing is multiplied, but it's not multiplied, humanly multiplied. Like we said, 2 times 5 is 10. Because the scripture, one can taste 1,000, 2, 10,000. See how much is multiplied?
Right.
Way more than math, than we know math.
That's right. This is God's math. God's math.
That's right.
Yes, God's math. Hallelujah. But that's awesome.
Amen. It is.
All right. Any other comments? Oh, excuse me. You're supposed to be running that. How many minutes you got left?
I'm sorry. It's 3. Since I stopped reading, it's been
yeah. I'm talking about
3 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm talking about since because we dealt with scripture a little while.
3 more minutes.
Any other comments?
But this seems to be a principle. This seems to be a principle whether the world uses it or God's people use it. Because even in the enemy, when they come together as one, that's why they have gangs. The type of a unity in that, even though it's the wrong spirit, it pulls them in. It's like a magnet. And that's why they go out to get other gang members to be on one accord, to make it bigger, greater, and stronger. So when you flip it for what God has said and meant for his people, that's a powerful blow into anything that we want to do to shake up any situation when we come together as one. And I always felt that in the garden, and God put Adam and Eve together, the serpent came right in between that to disturb that unity of two that was God had made one. And he separated Adam and Eve right there in the garden.
And echoing what you're saying, you know, the world uses godly principles before
amen,
for devilish reasons. And they gain some success in dealing with it. The church,
yes.
That's why the enemy comes in the church, trying to divide the church, trying to separate us, trying to get us by ourselves. Why the people say, well, if you're baptized in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's not right. You got baptized in the name of Jesus. All of it is one. God. All of it is one. But I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. The devil said, well, I can separate them this way. So he separated people along. Folks was actually hating people. And you know that wasn't of God because they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's crazy. Some people were hating people because they just baptized in Jesus' name. They're all one, y'all.
That's right.
The enemy. And we were hoodwinked, bamboozled by the enemy. We've got to stop the foolishness.
Amen.
We started dealing with denominations. You know what denomination really means?
Division.
Division.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been trying to do. Even Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided can't stand. And the devil knew a church divided can't stand. But we standing now, y'all.
Amen.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Hallelujah. We just have to put some more shoulders to the wheel. and have to do God's math.
Amen. Amen. The laws of nature will work for anybody. The laws of the laws of God will work. If they were, they only have to even say the name of Jesus. If they're working his laws, they're going to prosper at his law, at what he says, without even saying the name of Jesus. We see these Fortune 500 companies.
Operating in the
laws of God.
Every one of them have a foundation. They're giving money away. Bill Gates has given billions of dollars away. He keeps getting blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I know folks that keep giving food away. Every time they give food away, food coming back. Find a place to put the food.
Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned Pastor Peter's name. Oh, never mind. I just did. How many more minutes we got?
Oh, wait a minute. Look at this clock. Oh, we ain't gone a minute over.
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go, Pastor.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of intercession. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is the prayer of intercession. We're continuing our teaching series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer we're discovering or talking about is a prayer of intercession. Now, this is a prayer that's very common that most people sometimes have operated in but may not understood exactly what it is. And so we're going to go through it. I want to show you some of the things around it and some of the types of intercession that might be laid on your heart. What I will describe to you or discuss with you is that this is a very deep teaching. This is a very broad subject is what I should say. Now, we're going to cover it for the next few minutes, and maybe we'll circle back around to it later. I'm already before the Lord on whether he wants me to circle back around and put it as one of our main sermons on our Champions Walk broadcast, which is our full sermons broadcast. But this is a big subject, and we're going to cover it during the types of prayer, and we're going to give you a quick burst of what it is. That way you understand what a prayer of intercession is and how it operates. The basic thing to know with a prayer of intercession is that a prayer of intercession is basically when you are impressed by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to pray for another person. That can be another individual. It can be a group of people. It can be for a large group of people. It can be for an entity like a church. It can be for a business. It can be for a large entity like a nation. The Lord will impress upon you at times through your spirit. And it almost comes upon you like as if it's a heaviness or if it's a burden. Oftentimes what my wife and I have described to each other as is that we feel as though we're off in the spirit. In fact, I will tell you that over the years in our Christian walk and our marriage together, we both learn to identify when we're feeling impressed in the Holy Spirit to pray for something. And so there's times where maybe it's just me feeling something that just I need to pray about. Other times it's just her feeling something she needs to pray about. But sometimes we come together and there's something that we're both not feeling right about. And so oftentimes I'll come to her, I shouldn't say oftentimes, but at times I will come to her or she'll come to me and we'll ask each other, hey, do you feel a check in the spirit or do you feel off in the spirit? You know, it tells us in the word that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in all truth. It also tells us in Philippians 4:7 that the peace that surpasses or transcends all understanding shall be upon us. And when we're led by peace, we know the Holy Spirit is involved in it. But sometimes we'll start to feel an unease, so to speak, with inside of us. Sometimes if it's very strong, it can come upon us almost like a heavy weight or even sometimes like a burden. In other words, what I mean by that is it's something that you're having to carry that's heavy on you. It's almost burdening you down. And when we do that, we'll often check with each other if we have a check in our spirit. And if we do, we'll come together in prayer, praying in the spirit as far as what it is that's on us. Now, one of the things we're going to go over in tomorrow's teaching is we're going to talk about what praying in the spirit is and how to do it. But I will tell you that praying in the spirit goes hand in hand with the prayer of intercession. Now, that being said, when the Lord impresses upon you to pray about something, sometimes he'll show you outright what it is you need to pray about. But other times you need to enter into fervent prayer, sometimes in the spirit, and as you do that, he'll reveal to you a specific situation, a specific circumstance, or person you need to pray about. But understand that a prayer of intercession is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. He's impressing upon you to intercede in prayer on behalf of another person. Now, yes, sometimes he'll lead you and guide you to pray about a situation that's in your future that maybe you don't know about yet. So intercession can also be for yourself. However, the basic definition of the word interceding means standing on behalf of another. So you are standing on behalf of another, but sometimes he'll lead and guide you to also pray about things within your own future. But why is that? Well, he tells us in Romans 4:17 that he's given us the authority and the ability to call things not as they are, but as they're meant to be, meaning that with the power of our words, we have the ability to pray and change circumstances. Remember, prayer changes things. I want to read you a quick foundational scripture for the prayer of intercession, and then we're going to get right back into some additional discussion on it. This is going to be out of 1 Timothy, and this is chapter 2, we're going to verses 1 through 4. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. When we talk about intercession, in this verse, it tells us about a couple different types of prayer. It talks about supplications, and then it just says prayers, but then it talks about intercession. But it also talks about praying for kings and those who are in authority, meaning that with the prayer of intercession, you have the ability to change things. The Bible has shown us very simply in the Word that the prayer of one person can change the entire course of a nation. So if things look dark and gloomy today within the world, don't be heavy about that. Just understand it's a sign of the times, but that you have the ability, you have the authority and the power through prayer to change the course of a nation through prayer. When you're led by the Holy Spirit and you allow His words to flow out of your mouth, you can change things in a mighty way. Guys, one of the other things I want to talk about with the prayer of intercession before we close is that oftentimes one of the most common things that people have when they're growing in intercessory prayer is they'll be asleep, they'll be comfy in their bed, and all of a sudden they wake up or they feel an unease in their spirit. They may get up and go to the restroom in the middle of the night or something, but they feel an unease, or they're led to get up and start.
Hold on just a second, everybody.
Praying for someone else, and they don't know why that is. The Holy Spirit impressing upon you that you need to intercede on behalf of another in prayer. Oftentimes, you'll hear stories where people will say, man, it was wild. I was praying for this specific person at the specific time, maybe it was in the evening or when I was sleeping or during the day. I just felt so impressed to pray for them. And I talked to them a couple days later, and they explained to me that at that exact time, something had happened to them, but that what should have happened didn't. Maybe it was like a massive car wreck right next to them, and they should have been in it, but they weren't. And I was led to pray for them right at that moment. Because I'm going to tell you that that's God leading you through the Holy Spirit to pray for someone. But I will tell you that just like we've heard from Terry Seville Foy, and I mention this all the time, that delayed obedience is the same thing as disobedience. Someone's always waiting on the other side of your obedience. When you feel led to pray for someone or something, don't delay, because there's an urgent need with that prayer that needs to be prayed right there and then at that moment. Sometimes you'll be led to pray over something. And I will tell you that as you're led to pray an intercessory prayer, that is also often the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating within you. And when people say the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And specifically, there's 2 that this can operate and start to grow within you. One is the word of knowledge, and the other is the word of wisdom. Now, we're not teaching about that today, but just so you know, sometimes I've heard people teach that the word of knowledge is when you have vast knowledge about a lot of things. That's not what it is. I've heard other people say that a word of wisdom is when you're wise beyond your years and in different ways. That's not what that is. A word of knowledge is when you have a supernatural word imparted upon you about a past or current situation you could know nothing about without God giving it to you. So it's a word of knowledge about a past or present situation that you could not know about without God directly giving it to you. A word of wisdom is a word about the future that has not occurred yet. And it's something that God directly gives to you, and there's a couple reasons. The first one is because it brings witness to people when it comes to pass. But the second one lines up with Romans 4:17, that we've been given the power and authority to pray over things and call them not as they were, but as they're meant to be. Or not call them not as they are, but as they are meant to be. Guys, when the Lord impresses upon you through intercession, when he gives you an unease or a burden inside you, and he impresses upon you to pray for someone, or someone comes to mind very loudly, in other words, you're there maybe, and it's like almost a thought jumps in your mind or shouts out in your mind about a specific person, you are often being led by the Holy Spirit to start praying for that person and interceding. And for the person out there who's saying, but I don't know how to pray in tongues yet or pray in the Spirit, don't worry about that. We're going to get to it and cover it. But just understand that you don't have to be able to pray in tongues to pray for someone. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth, and he'll show you what to pray and who to pray for. Guys, we thank you for taking time to stop by and grow with us today. As always, we hope you enjoyed our teaching, and we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilrays.com, where you can find all of our teaching resources. They're available to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, where we invite you to subscribe to us and share it with friends. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page or Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is loaded.
Mercy, any questions? Well, I know we're witness to, you know, waking up different times and say, like, wow, like, well, we won't. Well, you won't. Yeah, and sometimes, and then there's been times that we just start praying for the children, not knowing what's going on, and start calling children, our kids' names out to the Lord in prayer.
But also, the power of not doing what God told you to do is disobedience.
Amen.
I think I have a confession about that. Because when we were at Word and Faith, you remember, what is her name? Oh, Lord. She passed. She has a son and a daughter. She died. Oh, Lord. That name is on the tip of my tongue. But she helped at our church a lot, any things that we had. Her son and daughter. No. She was kind of young. She has a son and a daughter. And she was very strict, stern. Can't think of her name. But anyway, we had church one service, and we had to eat. We had to eat this. It wants to come out the devil. That's right. Lord, bring it back. But we had a morning service and the evening service. In between, she was in the hospital not too far from our church. God impressed upon me to go visit her in between the services. So I asked someone, I said, come on, go around and see. Her name is not Elaine, Lord Jesus. Let's go around and see her. She had cancer. And she had a husband who was very interesting. And he came to see her in the hospital anyway. Anyway, Lord told me very strongly to go and visit her and do it between the services. And I said, come on, let's go see whatever her name is. And they said, no, we're going to stay here. We're going to do that. And I go, oh, okay. Plus, I didn't want to go by myself. And I did not go. A few days later, whatever the cancer was that she was healed of, I think, because of the interaction with her husband in the hospital and her anger flew up, the cancer came back or it came in another area and she died a few days later. I felt so guilty because I know the Lord had impressed upon me to go to her, fellowship with her and pray, and I did not. And I never told anybody that till now. But I didn't know what it was. So it was me because I cared about her so much. and she wasn't too far from the church,
mm-hmm.
and I knew she was in the hospital. So I can relate to this very much so, and I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness for that. And I paid attention. Anytime I got a strong unction
mm-hmm.
to go and do and pray, I do it immediately.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times when we feel that, sometimes we rationalize it, you know, trying to figure out.
Yes.
I'll go next time.
Yeah, you're trying to be like, oh, why am I thinking that? Or, you know, especially when you haven't had any connection with that person, or, and sometimes you, when you're not sure, that it's the Lord. But if you someone's going to tell us something good, I mean, to go pray with somebody, you know, a time that we can go pray. But sometimes we just rationalize it. Excuse me, sometimes we don't know. You know, we were trying to wait, like, you know. And I remember one time we was at Word and Faith and
Bernadette. Her name was Bernadette.
Oh, okay.
You remember Bernadette.
I mentioned Bernadette, but you didn't hear me. Okay, go ahead. That's all right.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm slow, but I'm sure.
And I remember once there was a young lady at Word and Faith named Sister Debbie. And right after, this was in the early years, right after my children's father, I was still married to him, and he had left. And I went to church that Sunday, and the Lord had told her to give me $20. But she didn't know what had happened to me before we got to church. The kid's father had left. We didn't have anything or whatever, and I don't even know how I even got into church. But then the next week, or a couple weeks later, I don't know how much later, she said, Sister Willie, I have to apologize to you. She said, I owe you $20. She said, because the Lord told me to give you $20, but I didn't know why he was telling me that. But then when she found out what had happened, then she knew, oh, that's why he told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, after I never say hindsight is 20/20, but sometimes when different things, sometimes something comes to, you know how they say, oh, something told me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unction of the Spirit.
Right. And there's been times when, you know, and I've had to, I guess, weigh that. I'm saying, well, the devil not going to tell me to give somebody some money. And then, you know what I start saying to myself? You know what? If it's not my thought, and I mean, if it is the Lord's thought, or if the thought coming from somewhere that I say, God going to bless my motives. I'm going to give it to the person anyway.
Yeah.
God going to bless.
Pastor, if I may interject, I think I've told this story several times before. Of two sisters, one sister kept being awakened at about 5:00 in the morning. And she didn't know what was going on. And so, you know, she used her prayer language. You know, she kept trying to go back to it. She used her prayer language, and she prayed. She prayed and prayed. And in her prayer language. She kept doing it until she got released from doing that. Later on, she got a call from her one of her sisters. I don't know how many she had, but I know at least one of her sisters, and said, I'm going to tell you a miracle that happened to me. About 5:00, I was on my way to work. It was snowing. I can't stand to drive in the snow. It was snowing so bad. I closed my eyes, and I'm still driving. The next thing I know, I'm opening my eyes, and I'm pulling into the parking lot of where I work.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the sister was praying.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to take care of God in that car.
Mm-hmm.
Closing your eyes and driving for a block is perilous. To drive a long distance to God and closing your eyes in the snow is really something. But that's what she said. Now, I can't say that she was just telling sending me smoke or whatever, but that's what she testified in church, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know when you get the unction of the Spirit, it's time to pray. Yes. Time to act on that, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of times I'm talking to people and say, going through, I want you to pray for me. You know, I start praying then. I don't
wait. Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Or whatever. And I mean, I know all that's going on. That's why the prayer language is so important. So you,
yes,
you,
it is.
You jump right into your prayer language, and then God may reveal to you, or he may not reveal to you. But you go start praying and just continue to pray, and whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, whatever to say in English, you go ahead and say that, and then say, amen. It is so. So be it. You know,
amen.
That's what I'm saying. And so, but that is so important to have the unction of the Spirit. Did we do 5 minutes already?
Yes, sir. We've gone over, but we were talking.
Okay, because I want to play both of them over again because we got time. Is that all right?
Yes.
That's fine. That's great.
Hallelujah. So we're going to do that again because it's not even 8 o'clock yet. Hallelujah. Let's see if we got it.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
How we're doing this is when I was before the Lord in prayer, he had showed me that what he wanted me to teach next was on the different types of prayer. One of the things we've been repeatedly saying throughout this series is that sometimes when people do not have their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying about the right thing or they're not praying in the right way. Now, that's not always necessarily the case. Obviously, whenever you pray for something, there are rules around prayer, and that's what these rules are based on that we're covering. But anytime someone prays, they must also believe in faith, and they must remain in faith by staying thankful to God that whatever they prayed about will come to fruition. Sometimes when people don't receive a prayer answered, sometimes it's because the Bible tells us it simply doesn't line up in accordance with God's will. You know, other times when they pray and they're not getting that things answered, it's because maybe they're praying, but they're not operating or staying in faith to bring that thing to pass. Well, today we're going to continue our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer that we're covering is called United Prayer. Now, when people talk about United Prayer, sometimes within the body of Christ or within the church, this is also referred to as corporate prayer. This is the type of prayer that it is. United prayer or corporate prayer is when a group of people come together about a common goal that they're believing for, and they stand in prayer and agreement that it's going to come to pass, whatever that is. Sometimes when people have prayer circles, you know, sometimes within churches, you'll have a group of women or a group of men will turn around and create a prayer circle. And anytime that they find out about someone within the church who has a need, maybe it's healing or finances or relationship, you know, their children, something else, they'll turn around and they'll start that prayer chain is what it's sometimes referred to. And within that prayer chain or within that prayer circle, they'll come together praying about the commonality. Now, where the prayer circle or prayer chain breaks is when people start talking about the issue instead of talking about the answer. When people focus around what's going on or the issue, they break down the faith of the prayer that will bring the answer. Prayer circles or prayer groups are not meant for gossip sessions. Those are meant for sessions where those people come together. It's actually a type of form of intercessory prayer, which we'll be covering tomorrow. But it's a type of intercessory prayer where they're actually coming and interceding on behalf of those people. But as a corporate prayer or group in a united prayer, they're coming together and praying for those people. Other types of united prayer or corporate prayer are when you turn around and you have a church believing for something. Now, an example of that would be if you have a church, but maybe they've outgrown their current facilities and they're believing God for the new piece of land or for the new building that they can build it so they can reach more people. That's a very common thing within the side of the church or the body of Christ. And so sometimes they'll ask their church members to become involved with praying and believing for that answer to prayer. That would also be a group prayer or united prayer, or sometimes, like I said, referred to as corporate prayer. Other times we see this is within the actual body of Christ. When I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. One of the things that you hear people praying about very strong right now across the nation of the United States as people are praying for revival. It seems like most people I talk to, regardless of the denomination that they're part of, as long as their denomination is focused around God and Jesus Christ as our Savior, they will turn around and they're praying for revival in the nation because the nation is in such turmoil from a moral standpoint. Now, we have some other things going on politically and different things that like that as well, but as a nation, our moral compass has become corrupted or is not working, so to speak, or we're ignoring the moral compass of our nation. So many parts of the body of Christ, or I should say the body of Christ in general, they're believing for a revival to sweep across this nation. As they're praying for that common goal, that would also be considered a united prayer. The other type of united prayer you have is when as a nation we come together in prayer. An example of that, if we went back to 9/11, when we had the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers and the other parts of our country. As a nation, we bonded together during that period, and people were flying American flags. I remember driving down the highway, and just about every pickup going down the highway had an American flag sticking on its tailgate or, you know, on the bed of its truck going down the highway. It was a pretty awesome sight to see, actually. Everywhere you went, people were saying, God bless you, and people were coming together as a nation, and they were praying for those families, and they were praying for the safety of our nation and the guidance of our president, who was President Bush at the time. When we do that as a nation, that is also a type of united prayer. It shows us in the Bible repeatedly where the nation of Israel also came together in united prayer. I want to go ahead and read you a couple of scriptures right now, and this is one of the places where it talks about united prayer within the Bible. Now, in this particular scripture, this is in the book of Acts, and this is when they received the gifts of the speaking and the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them. But we're going to talk about this because there's a couple key verses that I'm going to read to you. Let's go ahead and turn to it. This is going to be in Acts chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 24. Let's read. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. So as we start in verse 24, there was a report that came out. Peter had just gotten out of jail and stuff, and when he did, they had a certain report that had come to them. And as they did, all the believers together lifted their voice together in unison in prayer. Let's skip down to verse 31, Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So in Acts 4:31, it shows us that before that in verse 24, that they went ahead and they heard a report, and together they came into together in agreement in unison and prayed in unison together. Now, from 24 to verse 31 is actually the prayer that they were praying. I skipped over that, but it was the prayer they were praying. When they did that, in verse 31, it tells us that that prayer was so powerful. That, and it wasn't so much the prayer, it was the unison, the unitedness of that prayer was so powerful that the place literally shook. Just think about that for a second, that if you're in church this Sunday, you know, we're coming up on Easter Sunday, and let's just say that on Resurrection Sunday that you're sitting in church, and together you guys enter into fervent prayer, whether it be for our nation or for your church, but something, and you guys enter into fervent prayer. And as you enter into fervent prayer, that that prayer doesn't have to be long or elaborate, but that there's a unison and there's an agreement in it, there's a oneness in it. And as you guys pray, when you're done, the prayer is so strong that the entire place starts shaking. Man, that's got to be an awesome experience, but that goes to show the power of united prayer. You know, it tells us in the Word that one believer walks in the flight of 1,000, but two Christians walk in the flight of 10,000. What happens when we get an entire group of people united in corporate prayer or united prayer? It's a pretty powerful thing. Let's go ahead and skip down to the third verse, and this is going to be out of Acts 32, my apologies. And so it says, so after Acts 31, it talks about that they got together in a meeting place, they prayed together, and the place shook. Now let's go to Acts 4:32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. I'm going to read that again. All the believers were united in heart and mind. So it tells us that the way this prayer worked is that they came together off of a report. In other words, there was something that they heard. They turned around and as believers agreed on what it was they needed to pray about, and they united and lifted in prayer at the same exact time. And as they did that, the prayer was so strong that when they were done, the place shook. And it shook because they had all come into agreement in prayer. The Lord heard them, and the place shook because prayer can shake things up. Praise God. And it tells us in verse 32 that they were united both in heart and mind. When you're united in both heart and mind, that means both your logic and your thinking, your thoughts, and your heart, your faith, are lined up together. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings available to stream 24 hours a day at no charge. In addition, we also invite you to connect with us on our social media. We have our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe to. We also have our Facebook page and Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are encouraging you, then as always, we want to encourage you to share this word with others. Whether you're posting it on your timeline of your social media, sometimes you'll be surprised that you might reach someone that you never would have thought you'd reach, because as they come across the video, there's a headline or something in it that captures their attention based on the need of where they're at that day. Guys, we want to remind you as always that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Questions, comments? I have a comment. I don't believe we'll ever know the full extent of the power that we possess, or the power of the Holy Ghost, or even I don't think we'll totally know the power that we possess. You know, when we are praying for someone on the other side of the world, or we believe in God for something, we speak the word of God. Even when we're praying on Sundays and we're calling down the fire from heaven to against things that's been any hexes or vexes or anything's been coming against our family. I don't believe we'll ever totally know just the things that we are stopping in the spirit, or the things that we are binding up in the spirit or in the heavens, because it's so powerful. We are so powerful. And I don't believe sometimes we realize how powerful we are ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. And I was just thinking about what you were saying, Sister Willie. I think it all starts with a small seed of caring, loving, and sharing. When we have that for each other, then it grows from there. When we come together, that's a mighty strong cord. And the Bible even says a three-pronged cord is hard to break. So can you imagine if all that's woven together, how strong that is, like a chain, a mighty chain.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be broken.
Right.
That is so right, you know, and I love that caring, loving, and sharing, and that sounds like part of the seven pillars of wisdom. We have
you believe.
We have to love. We have to care for others. We have to share. We got to do that, and our efforts will lead us to, in corporate prayer and in prayer, intercession, and all the other types of prayer, praying for others. We can't be satisfied. We are to pray for ourselves, us four, but we are to pray for more,
mm-hmm.
for others as well. And that's going to leave anybody out. If there's a fire in a building, you want to get everybody out safely. You don't want to leave nobody in a burning house.
Amen.
To be destroyed. So you want to get everybody out safely. And so we want to do that. The caring, loving, and sharing. We need to do that. And I think when your mind and your heart are in line with the word of God, and then you have a whole bunch of folks in one place with the same thing, there's going to be smoke in the building. There's going to be maybe a little earth shaking going on. I don't know. Lord have mercy. Something's going to happen. Some yoke is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Some hole is going to be torn down.
Oh. And Pastor, the Bible says we are our brother's keeper.
Yes.
And iron sharpens iron. if how we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Bible is giving you all those clues or nuggets to tell you how to come together in your heart and mind and spirit. And once that is done, this is the effects of it. That's a mighty blow.
That is so true. And, you know, I was listening to Proverbs the other day, and that's in Proverbs. Orange sharpens orange is actually in Proverbs. I've forgotten exactly.
Okay.
I'm gonna check that out so I'll know the exact scripture. But that's so good. You know, it is important for us to understand God's word, because God's word is what's going to take us through this life. Through the good, yes, the bad and the ugly. And we need that. And this dispensation, we need all of that and more. Any questions about the United Prayer or corporate prayer? You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to keep quiet for a second and see if anybody has any questions, but then I'm going to share something real quick. Anyone? Okay. I like the phrase United Prayer more than corporate prayer, because United Prayer says what we need to be, united. Corporate seems to be, it's almost like it's a noun, corporation. It doesn't sound like there's any power in saying corporate, but United Prayer, that implies, number one, you got to be united.
Coming together.
Yes. I like
one for all and all for one.
What'd you say, Q?
One for all and all for one.
Amen. It's Psalms 27:17, Pastor.
Psalms. That's what it was probably. I was listening to a bunch of the scriptures. Psalms 27:17.
Oh, wait a minute.
7:17. I got
it. Look at shopping
eye. Proverbs. Proverbs 27:17.
Okay, all right. 27:17. I gotta remember that. Proverbs 20. And you say, I know for why? Why not remember that? 27:17. On Hallelujah. Thank you.
And just like, well, it always in the scripture, it always showed something powerful happening when people came together with one mind. Just like the building of the Tower of Babel.
Yes, yes.
I had to come in and start confusing the people's tongues because it would have went up right to heaven.
Communicating together because it's only
yes.
language.
That's right.
Building a tower. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. They say we ain't going to have no flood no more. We ain't going to be flooded out. We're going to build the tower. It says we got to confuse the tongue because nothing that they won't be able to do.
Right.
And that's the same that we got to, you know what? I think, Albert Kirby, you mentioned it earlier, that I think it was you, that said something about the gangs, they get united, or might have been
passed. Yes,
I don't know. But
yeah, the gangs. I was talking about the gangs.
Mm-hmm.
They get together and they take over. Sometimes they take over cities and countries because they united.
They came together with one mind. It was
that's
a
right.
negative mind, but they came together. Mm-hmm. They were united.
There's power and unity.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-mm-mm.
This is a comment on United Prayer. And what were the scriptures on United Prayer? I know, what's that?
Acts 2:24.
Uh-huh.
1:32.
Okay. And that was all the scriptures for that?
He mentions, like, on a sidebar of speaking those things that being not as though they were, but he had only one defining scripture.
In scripture. Right, exactly.
Romans 4:17. Okay, yeah, I remember that. Okay. Any more questions or comments about? I'm going to use that terminology too. United prayer. I'm not going to say corporate prayer. I'm going to united.
Yes, I like that better too.
It says so much more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's the next one.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Called the prayer of intercession. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is the prayer of intercession. We're continuing our teaching series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer we're discovering or talking about is a prayer of intercession. Now, this is a prayer that's very common that most people sometimes have operated in but may not understood exactly what it is. And so we're going to go through it. I want to show you some of the things around it and some of the types of intercession that might be laid on your heart. What I will describe to you or discuss with you is that this is a very deep teaching. This is a very broad subject is what I should say. Now, we're going to cover it for the next few minutes, and maybe we'll circle back around to it later. I'm already before the Lord on whether he wants me to circle back around and put it as one of our main sermons on our Champions Walk broadcast, which is our full sermons broadcast. But this is a big subject, and we're going to cover it during the types of prayer, and we're going to give you a quick burst of what it is. That way you understand what a prayer of intercession is and how it operates. The basic thing to know with a prayer of intercession is that a prayer of intercession is basically when you are impressed by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to pray for another person. That can be another individual. It can be a group of people. It can be for a large group of people. It can be for an entity like a church. It can be for a business. It can be for a large entity like a nation. The Lord will impress upon you at times through your spirit, and it almost comes upon you like as if it's a heaviness or if it's a burden. Oftentimes what my wife and I have described to each other as is that we feel as though we're off in the spirit. In fact, I will tell you that over the years in our Christian walk and our marriage together, we both learn to identify when we're feeling impressed in the Holy Spirit to pray for something. And so there's times where maybe it's just me feeling something that just I need to pray about. Other times it's just her feeling something she needs to pray about. But sometimes we come together and there's something that we're both not feeling right about. And so oftentimes I'll come to her, I shouldn't say oftentimes, but at times I will come to her or she'll come to me and we'll ask each other, hey, do you feel a check in the spirit or do you feel off in the spirit? You know, it tells us in the Word that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in all truth. It also tells us in Philippians 4:7 that the peace that surpasses or transcends all understanding shall be upon us. And when we're led by peace, we know the Holy Spirit is involved in it. But sometimes we'll start to feel an unease, so to speak, with inside of us. Sometimes if it's very strong, it can come upon us almost like a heavy weight or even sometimes like a burden. In other words, what I mean by that is it's something that you're having to carry that's heavy on you. It's almost burdening you down. And when we do that, we'll often check with each other if we have a check in our spirit. And if we do, we'll come together in prayer, praying in the spirit as far as what it is that's on us. Now, one of the things we're going to go over in tomorrow's teaching is we're going to talk about what praying in the Spirit is and how to do it. But I will tell you that praying in the Spirit goes hand in hand with the prayer of intercession. Now, that being said, when the Lord impresses upon you to pray about something, sometimes he'll show you outright what it is you need to pray about. But other times you need to enter into fervent prayer, sometimes in the Spirit, and as you do that, he'll reveal to you a specific situation, a specific circumstance, or person you need to pray about. But understand that a prayer of intercession is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. He's impressing upon you to intercede in prayer on behalf of another person. Now, yes, sometimes he'll lead you and guide you to pray about a situation that's in your future that maybe you don't know about yet. So intercession can also be for yourself. However, the basic definition of the word interceding means standing on behalf of another. So you are standing on behalf of another, but sometimes he'll lead and guide you to also pray about things within your own future. But why is that? Well, he tells us in Romans 4:17 that he's given us the authority and the ability to call things not as they are, but as they're meant to be, meaning that with the power of our words, we have the ability to pray and change circumstances. Remember, prayer changes things. I want to read you a quick foundational scripture for the prayer of intercession, and then we're going to get right back into some additional discussion on it. This is going to be out of 1 Timothy, and this is chapter 2. We're going to verses 1 through 4. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. When we talk about intercession, in this verse, it tells us about a couple different types of prayer. It talks about supplications, and then it just says prayers, but then it talks about intercession. But it also talks about praying for kings and those who are in authority, meaning that with the prayer of intercession, you have the ability to change things. The Bible has shown us very simply in the Word that the prayer of one person can change the entire course of a nation. So if things look dark and gloomy today within the world, don't be heavy about that. Just understand it's a sign of the times, but that you have the ability, you have the authority and the power through prayer to change the course of a nation through prayer. When you're led by the Holy Spirit and you allow His words to flow out of your mouth, you can change things in a mighty way. Guys, one of the other things I want to talk about with the prayer of intercession before we close is that oftentimes one of the most common things that people have when they're growing in intercessory prayer is they'll be asleep, they'll be comfy in their bed, and all of a sudden they wake up or they feel an unease in their spirit. They may get up and go to the restroom in the middle of the night or something, but they feel an unease, or they're led to get up and start praying for someone else and they don't know why that is. That is the Holy Spirit impressing upon you that you need to intercede on behalf of another in prayer. Oftentimes you'll hear stories where people will say, man, it was wild. I was praying for this specific person at the specific time, maybe it was in the evening or when I was sleeping or during the day. I just felt so impressed to pray for them. And I talked to them a couple days later, and they explained to me that at that exact time something had happened to them, but that what should have happened didn't. Maybe it was like a massive car wreck right next to them, and they should have been in it, but they weren't. And I was led to pray for them right at that moment. Guys, I'm going to tell you that that's God leading you through the Holy Spirit to pray for someone. But I will tell you that just like we've heard from Terry Seville Foy, and I mention this all the time, that delayed obedience is the same thing as disobedience. Someone's always waiting on the other side of your obedience. When you feel led to pray for someone or something, don't delay, because there's an urgent need with that prayer that needs to be prayed right there and then at that moment. Sometimes you'll be led to pray over something. And I will tell you that as you're led to pray an intercessory prayer, that is also often the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating within you. And when people say the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And specifically, there's 2 that this can operate and start to grow within you. One is the word of knowledge, and the other is the word of wisdom. Now, we're not teaching about that today, but just so you know, sometimes I've heard people teach that the word of knowledge is when you have vast knowledge about a lot of things. That's not what it is. I've heard other people say that a word of wisdom is when you're wise beyond your years in different ways. That's not what that is. A word of knowledge is when you have a supernatural word imparted upon you about a past or current situation you could know nothing about without God giving it to you. So it's a word of knowledge about a past or present situation that you could not know about without God directly giving it to you. A word of wisdom is a word about the future that has not occurred yet. And it's something that God directly gives to you, and there's a couple reasons. The first one is because it brings witness to people when it comes to pass. But the second one lines up with Romans 4:17, that we've been given the power and authority to pray over things and call them not as they were, but as they're meant to be. Or not call them not as they are, but as they are meant to be. Guys, when the Lord impresses upon you through intercession, when He gives you an unease or a burden inside you, and He impresses upon you to pray for someone, or someone comes to mind very loudly. In other words, you're there maybe, and it's like almost a thought jumps in your mind or shouts out in your mind about a specific person. You are often being led by the Holy Spirit to start praying for that person and interceding. And for the person out there who's saying, but I don't know how to pray in tongues yet or pray in the Spirit, don't worry about that. We're going to get to it and cover it. But just understand that you don't have to be able to pray in tongues to pray for someone. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth, and he'll show you what to pray and who to pray for. Guys, we thank you for taking time to stop by and grow with us today. As always, we hope you enjoyed our teaching, and we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilrave.com, where you can find all of our teaching resources. They're available to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, where we invite you to subscribe to us and share it with friends. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page or Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. We thank God for Neil Reyes, and we pray for
him. Amen.
We pray for him.
Yes, keep doing it for you. Yes.
And we're going to be into Neil Reyes. We're going to find a way to sow into his ministry, because he's been a blessing.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yes.
Such a blessing to
definitely.
Us.
Yes, he makes it so simple.
Yes, we're going to sow into his ministry. But I thank God for all of you being on here. I don't know how many is on here. It sounds like it's just, is it more than Elder Kevey? Is it more?
A lot of times, sometimes people be just quiet, honey.
Okay. Okay.
But we thank God for them joining and enjoying the word.
And I thank God.
That's right. Amen.
And I appreciate the input, you know, because the anointing that others bring to the group. One if they taste a thousand, but two 10,000. It just helps the whole situation. I tell you, the enemy is discombobulated when a lot of people united, same heart, same in one place.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Okay. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, if you like it, end us in prayer. I appreciate that. If all minds are clear, any questions or comments?
I just want to say highlight the power of our words and something that you always say or have started to say. We are armed and dangerous. We just don't know our strength. We have to flex our muscles.
Amen.
My people perish because of lack of knowledge. That's why we're getting the knowledge to know that we got the goods. We have the authority and the ability. God sanctioned it. So we got to go to work.
Amen. I don't think we'll totally know all the power that we possess. I remember one pastor said, we have more power in our little pinky than the enemy has.
Yeah.
You know, we have more power than the enemy has. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I don't think we know just how powerful, how much power we possess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to gather around the word of God and to learn more of you. Father God, tonight the word was sown on good ground, Lord God, and it will bring forth. It will bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Father God, the memory of the just is blessed.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, we will remember the scriptures. We will remember the word of God that Neil Reyes up on. We will remember the comments that was made among us. We will remember, Lord God, the power. We will remember the examples that was given. Hallelujah. Lord God, of people praying and calling those things that be not as though they were. We will remember, Lord God, the power.
Yes.
You say that we possess, and we just thank you, Father, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank God for the power that we have in the spoken word. We thank you, Lord God, for the power that we have in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for not letting us ever forget it, that we are effective people. We, Lord God, we are people that's walking the earth, but we are full of power. We are full of effectiveness.
Yes.
We're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can call those things that be not as though they were. We possess, Lord God, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, God. Hallelujah. And we can speak and cause worlds to change. Hallelujah, Lord God. We can be the change. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunities, Lord God, to come around the Word of God, get around the Word of God, and learn more and more and more of you. We ask you, Lord God, to continue to bless everyone that's on the call tonight, the ones that have been not silent and the ones that are silent. Bless them also in the name of Jesus. Let us all never forget the Word of God that went out tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to bless the saints of God that's not feeling well, Lord God. Bless AJ. Touch her body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Where we beat fever and high temperatures in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, to touch the pastor's body. Touch Elder Kibi, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Continue to give her strength in her body and all the limbs, Lord God, that has to keep her going and moving in the name of Jesus. Continue to let her be, Lord God, a spokesman and a vessel of honor for the family and giving the word of God to the grandchildren. Hallelujah to the children, everybody around her. In the name of Jesus, bless all the ones that are silent, Lord God. In the name of the encourage the saints of God's heart. In the name of the encourage the Father to continue to go on with you. Touch Pam's body, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, encourage all your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That there's a burning desire in me, and I know it's in many of you, to pour into others what God is pouring into us. I feel it as a burden almost to pour into others what God is pouring into me, what God is pouring into you. I know you have that same unction from the Holy Spirit. And
amen.
I say go with it, y'all. You're mighty.
Praise the Lord.
Mighty work, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. Have a blessed rest of your day. God loves you. We love you, too.
Hallelujah.
You can do about it.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you, you're my God, I'm Your spirit is like water to my dry, thirsty soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus. No other name like you're the holy end of all the dead ones, you're the risen end, exalted one, holy, you're the holy end, anointed one.
Hallelujah.
No other name I love you.
Hallelujah. God bless you now. Love you now. Hallelujah.